Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kidney Compass. We're coming to you live from Houston at the ASN Kidney Week. This is after another fantastic late-breaking session, and we're really lucky today. This is a very special episode. Shuk and I are being joined by Professor Hong Zhang and Professor Jicheng Du from China, who've just presented new data on a dual APRIL BAFF inhibitor called telitacicept and its effects in IgA nephropathy. And importantly, these are the first data on EGFR with EGFR results from a phase 3 trial of a dual APRIL BAFF inhibitor. So delighted that you're both here today. Thank you so much for making the time to speak to us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're so thrilled to have you. And, you know, the two of you are not unknown to our audience. You've been incredibly important to the IgA nephropathy field for decades, really, with testing and everything beyond. But it'd be great for you to share with our audience, which is, you know, a global audience, about some of the differences between the IgA nephropathy that we see in, you know, the United States, Europe, compared to the phenotype, let's say, that you see in China, because I think there are some important differences. And as you'll talk about, this trial was a study that was done solely in China. So Dr. Zhang, can you tell us a little bit?
Yes, thank you. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm Hong Zhang from Peking University First Hospital. And as you well know, that IgA nephropathy is the most common glomerular disease worldwide. And it is a high prevalence in Asia area. And in China, it's the most common disease for young adult to cause the ESKD. Mm. So IgA nephropathy also a heterogeneity. And from the clinical presentation and the pathologic features, even the outcome and the treatment response is different in different population. Usually in China, from the cohort study, previous study, we know that the Chinese patients present in clinically and pathologically, it's more severe. And the outcome is the disease progression is also not good, and the outcome is not good than the others. And that's from the genetics, mm-hmm. there are some difference, as you know, and I think that's why the treatment from the previous study and the treatment response is also different. That's as you mentioned, there are a lot of clinical trials in IgA nephropathy field, and it's also include the Chinese patient. That's very important.
We've talked a little bit about the epidemiology of IgA nephropathy and the presentation in China. So why don't we move to the clinical trial itself? You mentioned, Hong, that it was randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. And what type of patients did you study, Jicheng? Was this a typical IgA population for a clinical trial, more than 1 gram a day of proteinuria, EGFR greater than 30? Can you tell us a little bit about how many patients were in the study and what the characteristics of those patients were?
Yeah, I just mentioned that because the patient in China rapidly progressive, so I think our population more need a specific therapy, not only just supportive therapy enough. So in this trial, we include, we screened 500, more than 500 patients. Finally, 380 patients were randomized, and half in the placebo group, half in the tele group. Yeah.
And the primary outcome in this phase 3 trial was change in proteinuria?
Yeah. In our study, we have two states. The stage A is 9 months. We mainly focus on the proteinuria reduction, and the patients were randomized 1-to-1 to tele or placebo, and the patient received telitacicept 240 milligram every week or matching placebo. After treating for 9 months, then the patient moved to the stage B. In the stage B, and the dose of tele will be reduced to every 2 weeks, and the total duration will be 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. So in the 3B, we mainly focus on the EGFR. The stage A is mainly proteinuria. We also evaluate the safety outcomes.
Okay.
Fantastic. And can you share with us what the proteinuria data showed?
Yeah. In the stage A, we now just report our stage A data that mainly focus on the protein reduction. So in the tele group, the proteinuria reduced 59%. In the placebo group, is 8%. So compared to placebo group, after just the placebo, the proteinuria reduction is 55%.
Yeah, which is really fantastic. And as Brendan mentioned, this is the first study to show GFR data in the B cell modulatory drug class. And so you mentioned telitacicept is a dual APRIL BAFF inhibitor, and you showed some very exciting GFR data, which up until this point we've only seen phase 2 data on GFR. Can you tell our audience what the GFR data was in this phase 3 trial?
Yeah, the telitherapy stabilized kidney function, and in the placebo group, in the 9 months, the EGFR decline is by 3.7 millimeter per minute. But in the tele group, the EGFR is the change is plus 1.2 millimeter. And for the endpoint of 30% EGFR decline, in the placebo group, the proportion reached endpoint 27%, but in the tele group only 8%, 6%, 6%. Yes.
So just to clarify, the group that was on telitacicept, the GFR at the end of the study actually increased slightly.
Some little increased, but we just missed it stabilized.
Yeah.
But in the tele group,
it continued to decline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want people to really pause and recognize that this is kind of groundbreaking, because in the IgA nephropathy field thus far, we've had multiple phase 3 trials, global phase 3 trials granted, not just in China. But, you know, you've described this as a very high-risk population, perhaps with more severe disease than you would see in other parts of the world. However, with this drug compared to placebo, you actually not just had preservation in GFR, but that attenuation in GFR decline that we see in so many of our phase 3 trials in the placebo group, as well as the natural history studies that are out there. This is really, in your study, you've had no decline in GFR at all in the group until.
Yeah, that's very important, because in the testing study, after we give the patient even steroid therapy, and the GFR decline rate is 2 millimeter per year. So for this study, it is stabilized.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
No, you're good.
So I think that I should address that anyhow, that 2 years. Study that's a phase 3 study, 9 months treatment, just interim analysis. So that's for the EGFR data. I think just to give some information, and we expect the final results at 2 years.
Yeah,
I think this is fantastic results. A lot of people also ask about hematuria. And can you comment, Hong, on what percent of the patients that entered this trial had hematuria? And after, the part A was completed, did you see improvement in hematuria, or, you know, what about IgA or Gd-IgA1 levels?
Yeah. So as you noticed that in our patient recruitment in the baseline, about 70% with the hematuria, and in the baseline placebo and treatment group is hematuria is comparable, and with the 9 months treatment, 80% decrease, and means remission of the hematuria in the treatment group. That's compared with the placebo. I think that's a very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you all measure other biomarkers and look at immunoglobulin levels?
Yeah, that's in our study, we also detect the immunoglobulin levels. We found that that's IgA level in the treatment group that's decreased about 70%. And the IgG level is decreased about 30%. I think that's important. IgM level is also about 70%.
Yeah, for the IgA is 60% reduction. For the IgG is 32% reduction. For the IgM is 74%. So.
And you're going to be looking at galactose deficient IgA1 as well.
We have the plan, but at now stage we just collect the samples available. So for the measurement for the GDRD1, we must use a same time to measure. So we plan to do this in the next year.
Fantastic.
For analysis data available. Yeah.
Of course, this is incredibly promising. And as Shika alluded to, entirely consistent with a lot of the phase 2 data that we've seen with other agents in the class. But of course, we really do need the 2-year data, and that's very important.
Sure.
But it's incredibly promising, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in terms of safety or side effects, did you find any side effects that were increased with telitacicept?
Yes, overall, the treatment emergent adverse event comparable between tele group and the placebo group. For the SAE in the tele group, the proportion is 2.5%. In the placebo group, 8%. So there's no difference. But you can figure maybe in the tele group, some lower. For the most common drug-related AE is the injection site reaction. And 50% of the patients in the tele group have reaction. Compare only 13% in the placebo have reaction. But most of the reaction is mild or moderate. Only 1% of patients have severe reaction.
So I think this is really exciting for the IgA nephropathy field. And, Brendan and I were talking earlier today about how there's so much that has come and there's still so much work to be done. And I've been thinking that, it's been nice to have him here in Houston, but he's in Sydney and I've never been to Sydney, and maybe we got to find a way to get there. And Ji-Ching, I heard you actually have been to Sydney and you spent some time there, and it really had an impact on the field of IgA nephropathy. So tell us a little bit about this, because I think a lot of people don't know this story.
Yeah, I stayed in Sydney for 1 year for the training, for the clinical research. So at the beginning, when I was students, animated by Hong Zhang for the study of IgA nephropathy, we test our dual pilot study. We found the steroid maybe work in the Chinese population. But at that stage, the treatment of steroid is still much controversial worldwide. So I moved to Sydney to get a training for the clinical research that trained by Dr. Willardo Perkwick. Yeah.
Dr. Willardo Perkwick is his mentor when he was a trainee.
And when was this?
I think it's 2009.
2009.
Yeah, it's nearly, I think, 15 years before. Yeah,
and it was really that experience, Ji-Ching, working with Vlado, who, as our listeners know, was the opening plenary at the conference this year, that led you on to design the testing study. Is that
correct? Yeah. When I go to the Sydney, we mainly focus on how to manage the IgA nephropathy because it's very common in the Chinese population. So Milano also interested in this study. So we designed the testing study. So the testing study, when we come back to China, we get the funding support and we do 3 stages. The first stage, we just use 4 doses to test whether steroid will work. Yes, we found it work, but severe infections. So the testing second stage, we just reduce the dose of steroid. That's the low dose study. So in this, we balance the effect and the risk. So now it's recommended by the KDIGO guideline for the anti-inflammation regimen. So the third stage, we just do the testing on study. So you know this afternoon, and the Mujia just report the testing on study. And I think this totally from 2012, initially they studied the first patient in May, and now finished in the 2025 in the October, we finished this study. Totally, it's more.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, it truly is. And I think it really speaks to the power of mentorship. And, you know, Hong has been an incredible force in the field of IgA nephropathy. And she was your first mentor. And then you went to Sydney. And Vlado Perkovic was your second mentor. And of course, is also Brendan's mentor. And it sounds like you had a great year in Sydney.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you need to come.
I think, and I do, because I think that there's a road that needs to be followed here. And I've already given Vlado the heads up as well. So I'm looking forward to this. And then we have to come up with a really good idea when I'm there.
Yes, of course.
So I think that it's very important that year, because I learning how to design a trial, how to run a trial. So when I'm back, so we work together for the testing 10 years, more than 10 years trial. Then we initiated the telitacicept trial in China.
This is fantastic.
Well, thank you so much. You know, this is really a nice way to end our conversation, the culmination of 15 years of work. And you've made incredible progress, and thank you for everything that you have done to advance the field, both of you. And that brings us to the end of this latest episode of Kidney Compass. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you really enjoyed our ASN Kidney Week coverage. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts to see all of our live coverage from Houston. And until next time, we look forward to seeing you, and stay safe, and we'll see you soon.